Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Guests appear on the Superbook Sports phone line. Superbook Sports, now open with better odds and favorable prices. With Jason and John, live from the Topps Barbecue Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Brian Windhorst covers the NBA for ESPN. He joins us now. Brian, as always, appreciate the time. John Morant, it sounds as if he is going to make his return tonight to the Memphis Grizzlies. Just your perspective on how this was handled and what the expectation for Ja should be going forward with the Grizz.
I mean, my expectation is he's going to be great because, you know, no matter what's happened off the court, his on-court play has always been stellar. And so, I mean, I assume some rust because you don't play for 3 weeks or whatever it is, that's going to happen in any for anybody. But the thing about Ja and my suspicion, I don't live in Memphis. I don't go to a lot of Grizzlies games, but my suspicion is the reason that this kept developing is because Ja's performance never suffered. And I mean, so from a, if you're a fan of the Grizzlies, you're worried about Ja long-term. You want to make sure he's okay. And you want him to be a part of the Grizzlies and performing at a high level, but you've never been worried about his performance. So, I mean, I can't predict the future, but I would expect Ja to hit the ground running and be as good as ever. And, you know, the off-court stuff you hope gets stabilized because you want him to be a star for many years into the future.
Do you have any indication, Brian, how Nike felt about all of this?
Yeah, but I'm not going to get into it. You know, I've talked to some people who are involved with Ja off the court, but I think there's nothing that's been damaged that can't be restored. I think if anything, I would look at this as sort of a strike two situation. Strike one being the investigation happened after the Pacers game, the suspension being strike two. And, you know, if there's anything that happens again in the future, I think there will be more serious consequences. But I think that everybody could weather this as long as we don't see some other situation develop.
Has it cost him a spot on the All-NBA teams, Brian? Because we know that has obviously huge financial incentive for Ja. He does make one of the three teams. What do you think at this point for him? He's played 53 games.
Yeah, I thought he was a very strong. I mean, I don't want to say after 50 games that someone is a lock. But if the vote had been taken the day, you know, after that game that night, he'd have made it. You know, he was second team all NBA last year, and he essentially had numbers that were as good or better in about the same game. So, I mean, I can't speak for the Grizzlies front office, but I'll bet that they had figured they were going to pay that $39 million bonus, that when they were doing their tracking, that he was going to get the money. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think all voters kind of look at things differently. You know, there's only 100 voters. So on one hand, it's a small group. And on the other hand, you know, if just a small section is, you know, votes a certain way, it can swing a vote. The other thing is that the guard voting this year is much tighter than, let's say, the forward voting because of a bunch of injuries to forwards. You know, guys like Durant, LeBron, you know, Kawhi hasn't played as many games. Anthony Davis hasn't played as many games. The forwards, there's a lot more space. The guards, it's tight. There are other years where that's reversed. And so even if nothing had happened, I think there would have been strong competition amongst all the guards. So now you're going to just get into a situation where voters are going to have to make a choice. And look, the season isn't over. You know, the Grizzlies are playing very well right now. They stabilized very nicely over the last couple of weeks. They have a terrific opportunity with two games in a row here against one of the league's worst teams to really send a message, to really, get going on the positive track again, reestablish the number two seed, which they've now just put their nose back out in front of the Kings because the Kings have had a couple of losses. And if Ja is a big part of that, you know, I don't see any reason why he can't, establish himself as that. I remember, now look, this isn't the same class of voters, but I remember back in 2006-07 time, Carmelo Anthony got suspended for 15 games for a fight that he had, and he made the All-NBA team that year. So I don't think it necessarily rules him out, but I do think because of a very competitive field, that bonus is no longer assumed, and it's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. It's not a simple situation.
You mentioned it. I mean, in terms of the team itself, they have played really well. I think they finished 6-3 here without Ja Morant, and they did get back into second place, 1.5 up on Sacramento. When you're forecasting the West, Brian, on into the playoffs, how many teams legitimately do you consider as champ possibilities in terms of winning the league, or excuse me, winning the conference and coming out of the West?
10. I've never seen a conference like this in my 20 years covering the league.
Wow.
And I think you shouldn't mistake the fact that it's tightly packed for that it's tightly competitive. I actually think it's maybe the weakest the West has been top to bottom in the 20 years I've been covering the league. A bunch of these teams are heavily flawed. And even if you look at a team like the Kings, who's having kind of a magical season, they're a bottom five defensive team. You look at the Grizzlies, who have a lot going for them. They're emotionally all over the place. I don't know whether you can trust them. I don't know whether Dylan Brooks can get through a series without getting suspended because of his behavior. How many times is Dylan Brooks going to get suspended this year? You know, if he gets suspended a bunch of times in the regular season, am I just going to assume everything's going to be A-okay through the playoffs? How do I know he's not going to get technical fouls all the way through the playoffs and start getting suspended for conference finals games? So they have their issues. Denver, their best player, can be absolutely attacked on defense. I know he's gotten better, but he can absolutely be attacked. That is a weak spot that they have to manage. And then you look at all of those teams, 4 through 10, they all could go on 10-game winning streaks or all lose 7 of the next 8. It's a very, very scattered conference. And that's why you've got a team like the Lakers, who laughably would be considered to do anything under 500 70 games into the season. I mean, what kind of nonsense is that? A team that's under 500 70 games into a season could have a real conversation with you about doing anything in the postseason. Well, they could. Because if they get LeBron back and he's okay, and that's a big if, and Anthony Davis is okay, and they have a couple of hot shooting games in the right time, like the teams ahead of them aren't scary relative to the normal things that you would see at the top of the West. So I think it's an absolute crapshoot. I think you'd be insane to make bets on any of these Western Conference teams other than short term, because you can't trust any of them. And I guess it should make for a intriguing Western Conference playoffs, if not a very high level of play Western Conference playoffs.
Yeah, we came into this season, Brian, you touched on Dylan, asking that question. This would be the season you find out whether this team needs him moving on, right? Because he is so much a part of the DNA with the getting under the skin, the what they do defensively. But you've reached a point now where, you've got a top three, obviously, that you're going to have to pay. Bane's going to have to get paid soon. Have we come to an answer, Brian? Can you trust Dylan Brooks enough going forward? Is he efficient enough as a fourth option on offense, even with that defense up and down, that you decide as a franchise, yes, we do want to do? We know there were the reports that they tried to go after OG and Mikal Bridges. Would you say that question's been answered on whether you move on with Dylan Brooks?
I mean, he's a really – they love him, right? The team loves him. I'm sure the fans love him, I don't know.
It's a love-hate thing, I would say. It's a love-hate thing with the fans. Yeah.
The The thing about it is that he's not easily replaceable. You know, that's sure. the thing. You know, I think some fans, you know, if you're a big NBA fan, you understand this isn't true. But, you know, some people equate free agency. They think about football or baseball first. And they think, oh, okay, you lose a player, you can just go out and go get another player. That's not the way it works. If you reach a certain spot on the continuum, which is where the Grizzlies are, if you lose a player like Dylan, you aren't going to necessarily have the cap space because Jaws money comes on the books starting July 1st. You know, they had salary cap space last summer and, you know, they elected not to go after free agents, which I get. I mean, I don't necessarily think that free agency is a thing something Memphis should do. I mean, they dipped their toe in that water with Chandler Parsons and they got totally burned. So I can see why they wouldn't go that route. And by the way, re-signing Tyus was an excellent decision. They got him on an excellent contract. So, you know, you may have to focus on retaining Dylan to quote unquote keep the asset. And I don't like to refer to players as assets, but when you look at team building, it's unavoidable because you have to look at sort of players that are not your stars as kind of salary slots. You know, if you want OG Anunoby, you don't get him maybe by not keeping Dylan Brooks. Maybe you later trade Dylan Brooks for OG Anunoby. You know, maybe that happens in 6 months. Maybe it never happens. But if you let him walk out the door, you're probably going to be hurt. So I think, you know, looking at it from like a cold, you know, calculated roster management perspective, yep. Your goal with Dylan is to retain him on a contract that would not turn off another team. With another team, if you came to them and said, hey, we want to trade Dylan and maybe, you know, a first-round pick or two yep. for this player, the other team wouldn't say, well, we don't want that player, and we don't want that player with that contract. So, and that's why the Ja thing is fascinating because, you know, if Ja hits the bonus, you know, he makes $7 million more next year. And, you know, the salary cap is headed towards $130 million. You know, $7 million is a fraction of it. But the difference between maybe having that $7 million and not may be the difference between being able to pay Dylan Brooks and then maybe still being able to go sign another free agent, you know, and on the mid-level. Because, you know, long story short, if you go into the tax, which they might go into, you have less options on certain things. You know, it'll be very – I'm sure the Grizzlies – will be paying very, very close attention to that All-NBA announcement, not just because of what they pay Ja, but because of how it will affect their potential off-season maneuvers, particularly the Dylan negotiations.
We're talking to Brian Windhorst, NBA insider for ESPN. On to the rest of the league, Brian. There was a time where, you know, being here in Memphis and obviously wanting the Grizzlies to advance as far as possible, I was saying do whatever you can to avoid a first-round matchup with the Golden State Warriors. And now I don't find myself feeling that way. I don't find myself fearing Golden State, mostly because of the way that they perform on the road. When you diagnose what's different about them, what is it?
Man, again, we're in unprecedented times here. I've never seen a team operate like this because when you watch them at home, they are an excellent defensive team. And, you know, for all this, you know, we are in the most prolific offensive season that we have seen in really 50 or 60 years. And I don't even know how you reconcile the way the game was played in 1962 when Wilt averaged 50 points a game. I have no idea how it was played then, but we are seeing basically the most prolific offensive season since that time. And so when you see teams score incredible amounts of points and like you watch how easy teams generate shots, you know, you can be like, well, forget about defense. This is a straight out, you know, scoring, you know, it's a race to score. And so many games are basically shootouts. And I can see how people would fall into that and think that's the way it is. But that's not what my experience level in basketball tells me. My experience says when we get to the playoffs that the teams that get stops are the teams that are going to matter. And last year, and we're not talking about 2010, we're talking about 2022, the Celtics and the Warriors were two of the top three defensive teams in the league. The two teams that were sitting there at the end were the two of the top three defensive teams in the league. So My experience says you got to be able to defend, right? So now we look at the Warriors. Well, at home, they're the number three defense. That is very similar to the team that they were last year. And so I look at them at home and I go, yep, that's what you got to have. By the way, the Grizzlies are number two. Do you want to create a reason why the Grizzlies are going to win the Western Conference? None of the other Western teams are even in the top five or six. I think Phoenix is closest. I think they're seventh. And the Grizzlies are two. The Grizzlies are far and away the best defensive team in the Western Conference and have been since the start of the season. And if you were presenting a case about why the Grizzlies would win and you started with that, I would listen to you. Here we have the Warriors. I think they're number three at home. On the road, they're like 25th. I've never seen anything like this because the one thing that we know about basketball, if you spent any time in your life watching basketball, defense is what travels. You can't necessarily count on your seventh man to score 15 points in a road playoff game. You can't count on your team to be hot from three-point shooting, which is so important in the NBA, in multiple road playoff games. But the reason defense is so important in the playoffs is because typically defense travels. If you have good defensive habits, they travel. This Warriors team blows that all up, blows it all up. The data and the eye test both violate what you know about the game. So I have to sit here and tell you that strictly looking at them, I can't take a team that has eight road wins in March seriously as a team that can win four playoff rounds where they would be almost certainly going to be not have home court in any of those rounds. But then I look at the way they play defense at home and say, Is this just a championship team that doesn't care about being on the road? And so I think they're incredibly dangerous, especially if they get Wiggins back. If they don't get Wiggins back, it's a huge ask. And I don't even know if they get Wiggins back what his situation is going to be in. That's a huge factor. You know, it's almost like an injury where we just don't know whether a player can come back or not. But I have to fear them. But at the same time, I could understand, you could build me the case. They're not getting out of the first round, and I would have a hard time proving to you, other than just leaning on history, that they could do it.
How about the East, Brian? If you're riding with a horse right now, who is it?
Well, the three best teams in the league, in my opinion, are in the East.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Philly, Boston, and Milwaukee, and then there's a Gulf, and then we can start talking about the other teams. And I also think in the East there's a pretty significant difference between the three-team Philly and the four-team Cleveland. I think there's a gulf there. So to me, getting the one seed in the East is enormous, yep, because the difference between being one and two, some years it doesn't matter that much. This year it matters a ton. You know, I could argue that it doesn't, you know, I know Denver is going to win the West, but since I have no idea who's getting anywhere in the Western Conference, like, I can't tell you whether there's a big difference between three, four, or five. In the East, if you're the one seed and you don't have to beat both the other two, and you get home court, you know, just keep in mind last year when Milwaukee played Boston, which was really the series that decided the East, game seven was in Boston. That was huge. Now I know that game seven in Miami, Boston, you know, that went to seven. It was in Miami, Boston won. I was at all those games. Trust me, I know, but that the East last year was decided by Boston, Milwaukee, and it was decided because game seven was in Boston. So number one, having home court in the one versus two situation is huge, and then avoiding the side of the bracket where you have to beat both teams is, yep, huge. I mean, the thing is that if you're in the Western Conference, if you're a Grizzlies fan, you may only have to beat one of the three best, I shouldn't say maybe, you would only have to beat one of the three best teams in the league to win the title.
Yep.
Okay? I can't, yep, tell you when that's ever been the case. It's been decades since that's been the case for a Western Conference team. Now, if Golden State is at full power, we can maybe we can rediscuss who the top three teams are. But if you're the number two or number three seed in the East, you might have to beat three awesome teams to win the title. That's a massive, massive difference.
Yep.
So I look at Milwaukee and I see that there's some ungodly figure like 22-3 since the new year. And I say, well, look at what they're earning themselves. They're earning themselves a really big advantage when it comes to the Eastern Conference. So if it's Milwaukee number one, first off, I really like the way they play. I like their depth, and I think Giannis is the best player in the league. And if they can get the one seed and stay healthy. This is all predicated on all these teams staying healthy. I think whoever gets the one seed is going to be in great shape, and I think that's going to be Milwaukee.
Hey, Brian, great stuff as always,
man.
Appreciate the time.
Have a good day.
Yep, he is Brian Windhorst. Covers NBA for ESPN. We were talking about that a little bit yesterday with Trista Crick, right? You just sort of go down the list, and it's quite a few spots before you get to a team from the West. Now, anything can happen in the playoffs, but it does feel like the strength of the league is balanced towards the Eastern Conference. We shall see. Come back, Jason and John, 90 Turn FM, ESPN.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.